Know Your Reformers. John Wycliffe, called the Morning Star of the Reformation, was a professor at Oxford in the 1300s who preached against papal authority in matters of doctrine, politics, and church practice. After his death, his bones were dug up, burned, and spread over the river. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please do not hit me upside the head. Hit Michael Vlock upside the head. This is Wretched Radio. Not literally, of course, just metaphorically. His article, Modern Israel and Israel in the Bible, Clarifying the Relationship. He's a professor of theology at Shepherd's Theological Seminary in Cary, North Carolina. He has helped us to walk through the Old and New Testament to understand, what is Israel? What is Israel? Not modern, not old. What is Israel? How does God talk about Israel throughout the Bible? And he's established, I think, quite firmly, biblically, that Israel, it's a national group. It's an ethnic group. It is a group of people in a particular setting, in a particular land, with particular national components like religion and festivals and ceremonies. That's Israel. And the Bible always talks about Israel as it's an ongoing thing. It never disappears. It's always on the scene. And isn't it interesting? It has always been on the scene, hasn't it? Even with dispersion, it has always been on the scene. So Michael established that. Now he's going to get to the modern state of Israel. And here's what he writes. If the Bible portrays Israel as a continuing nation with enduring covenant promises and a lasting connection to the land, here's the question. How should Christians understand the existence of the Jewish people today and the modern state of Israel? That's what we've been hanging on the edge of our seat for. And guess what he does? Before we do that, I read that and I'm like, dude, get to it, man. You got me set up. I'm ready for it. But when I was reading through his, we've got to understand this first, it was like, oh, I see why you did that. And as we look at the conversation that is happening online, the YouTube videos that are being made, nobody's taking the time to unpack this carefully. Nobody is. That tends to be the way of the internet. But Michael Vlock slows us down and says, look, before we can address that question, a clarification has to be made. Israel's ongoing significance does not depend on the establishment of the modern state in 1948. That was clearly a big deal. Vlock is saying, before we go any further here, let's not confuse the issue with 1948. Because of the promises to Abraham, Israel remains relevant in God's purposes regardless of political circumstances. That's what he was making clear for the last like 8-10 pages that we've worked through. Israel remains relevant to God and his purposes no matter what's going on with Israel. Even if the Jewish state had never been reestablished, the people of Israel still occupy an important place in God's unfolding plan. The establishment of the state of Israel in 48 did not recreate the nation of Israel. It has always been. So if you want to take a leaf, so from the time of Jesus, from the time of Romans 9 through 11 until today, like what's Israel been? Israel. But they haven't been in the land. They're still Israel. And they still have a connection to the land. And frankly, I think they have a deed to the land. They've always been Israel. That's Michael's point. Even during long centuries of dispersion, the Jewish people continued to exist as Israel. That was Tucker Carlson's beef, I think, with Mike Huckabee. Well, you've got Ashkenazi Jews and, you know, Netanyahu's family. They spoke Polish and they didn't practice that. What? They were always Israel. And we see that in the Old Testament, don't we? When they were dispersed and speaking, they were even having to speak foreign languages to assimilate. That doesn't mean they still were not Israel. They continued to exist even when it did not exist as a political state. Now, we got to take a look at the modern state. And then we're going to answer the big question. How do we treat modern day Israel? First, it is a secular political state rather than a nation governed directly by a Mosaic covenant. Okay, Tucker, it's different. It's not those people operating with a king and the Mosaic covenant. It is a contemporary political state. So we have to make sure that we've got that clear. Second, the population largely consists of Jews who returned from many parts of the world, from all over the place. Third, the nation contains a wide range of religious and secular perspectives, just like they did in the Old Testament, by the way. The very reason they were scattered, because of their unbelief. So you've got cultural Jews then and now. They're religious. They're not religious. You had it then. You've got it now. We need to understand that. Now, guess what? Is modern day Israel connected to biblical Israel? We got to establish that. Then we're going to get to the practical. So we return now to AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem. The Jewish people scattered all over the place, but they didn't disappear. Miraculously, Jewish communities, they were all over the world. And there were even small populations still living in the land itself. Jerusalem, Safed, Tiberias, Hebron. And across the centuries, the Jewish people understood themselves to be the descendants of the ancient people of Israel. Ask a Jew if they're a Jew. Even a cultural Jew is going to go, yeah, I'm Jewish. And they will like really fight to be Jewish because that's their identity. They understand it, even unbelieving Jews. Their religious life, for the most part, remains centered on the Hebrew scriptures, the Sabbath, biblical festivals. In exile, they prayed toward Jerusalem. They preserved the memory of the land next year in Jerusalem. That's been going on for centuries. And then you've got historical developments that reinforce the continuity of Israel. The language, Hebrew, was revived as a spoken language in Jewish society during the modern return to the land. Genetic studies of Jewish populations across the world indicate significant shared ancestry rooted in the ancient Near East. They've got a lineage. So the conclusion would be that Jewish people of today are historically connected to the people of ancient Israel. And the modern state occupies the same land where the biblical story unfolded. We can't get tripped up with, well, they spoke a different language for a while. They were living in a different area. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And their DNA is even proving it. Their genealogy, their national identity, their ethnicity, and oftentimes their religious practices. Because the Jewish population, they maintain clear ethnic, cultural, and historical continuity with the ancient people of Israel, a meaningful connection exists between the Israel described in Scripture and the Jewish people of today. Now, you got an although thrown in here. Although Israel's existence doesn't depend on the approval of international bodies, the United Nations nevertheless acknowledged the historical connection between the Jewish people and the land when it said, it's got to be a state. They did that in 1947. That's important because we're examining something that was already studied 70 years ago. Yeah, they've got a connection to all of these dispersed Jews. That's where they used to live. It has always been recognized. So Tucker's use of the dispersion, it doesn't dissolve the nation of Israel. Differences in political structure do not erase the ethnic and historical continuity of the Jewish people or their connection to the land. And in 1948, the UN did not create a new people group. It marked the political reconstitution of a people whose identity had endured across centuries of dispersion. We've always gotten that. So the modern state of Israel should not be dismissed as irrelevant to the biblical storyline. The existence of the modern state does not fulfill the prophetic hopes of Israel's future restoration, but it does demonstrate the Jewish people continue to exist as a nation in history. Now then, all that to say, what Israel's presence in the land does and doesn't mean. Again, this is lifted wholly from Michael J. Vlock. What does their presence in the land mean in relation to biblical prophecy? Well, if modern Israel does not yet represent the full restoration promised by the prophets, how should its existence be understood within the unfolding plan? So here's what it doesn't mean. Israel's presence in the land does not mean the nation has already experienced the salvation and spiritual renewal promised by the prophets, you know, like Ezekiel and the dead bones. Those prophecies include repentance, forgiveness of sins, inner transformation, the reign of the Messiah from David's throne. That hasn't happened yet. So we look at modern Israel and we go, okay, this ain't that part. Likewise, Israel's presence in the land doesn't place the nation beyond moral or political evaluation. That should be a relief, right? Because otherwise we have to be like overlooking anything that they do that's bad. Well, we've got to bless Israel. No, we don't bless sin. And furthermore, we recognize that the people that are living there right now, we can't say that they are the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, or I would even say of Romans chapter 11. Supporting Israel's right to exist and her continuing role in God's purposes does not require Christians to approve of every political or military decision made by the modern Israeli government. Tucker Carlson should be glad. Also, recognizing Israel's role in God's purposes does not diminish the value or importance of other people groups. So we still care about other people in the region. The modern state that we see today as a basis for speculative date setting concerning the end times should be off the table. Now, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this. Do we get blessed if we bless Israel? How do we view modern day Israel versus biblical Israel in a practical, hands-on kind of way? Next on Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man. Should Christians drink? What about tattoos? Is it okay to send your kids to public school, or does homeschool make you holier? And don't even get started on worship styles. That's ended more friendships than Monopoly. Here's the thing. Christians love to argue about stuff the Bible doesn't actually command or forbid. And when we do, we fracture over things that shouldn't divide us. That's where Christian Liberty comes in. It's a teaching series with Todd Friel, Phil Johnson, and Ty Blackburn, all walking you through one of the most neglected and most misused doctrines in all of Scripture. And when you actually understand Christian liberty, you stop majoring on minors. You learn to disagree without dividing, you grow in wisdom and maturity, and have genuine love for other believers who see things a little bit differently than you do. Christian Liberty, it's streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Just download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy, and mental health, and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Crotts, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Important dates in Christian history. Henry VIII's act of supremacy makes the king, not the Pope, head of the Church of England. While Henry's concerns were largely political, his Archbishop Thomas Cranmer worked to mold the Anglican Church into a thoroughly Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Peter, Paul, and Jesus all agree. That's not a shocker. This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of Michael J. Block, a treatment on Old Testament Israel, Israel in the New Testament, and what do we do with the Israel today that we see across the oceans? How do we treat the modern state of Israel? Are they related to Old Testament Jews? Tucker Carlson wants to know. We should be able to answer the question. And Michael J. Block, I think, has done a pithy enough. It's like a 20-page article, but it's pithy enough. It's still, even though it was pithy, it demands a more thorough treatment because there's a lot of verses to deal with. So here's what we've seen. Old Testament Israel, even in unbelief, even in disobedience, even when they were scattered across the globe, were still considered the nation of Israel. Jesus also talked to them as the nation of Israel, even though they were unbelieving. Peter at Pentecost preaching to them, you are not good Jews, but they were still considered Jews. They're bad Jews, unbelieving Jews, but still Jewish. And what about Paul in Romans chapter 11? Well, he actually treats it all the way from Romans 9 through 11, but Romans 11, this is a really, you got to tackle it. I know it's hard stuff, but you just got to tackle it. He explains how Israel's present unbelief relates to God's larger purposes and how Christians should view the nation. So starting in Romans 9, he addresses the issue raised by the unbelief. How can God remain faithful to his promises when the nation has not embraced its Messiah? And he concludes, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. So to the Tucker Carlsons who are saying, I don't think we need to treat them that way because they're not that same people, Paul has resolved the issue. Tucker Carlson doesn't have a verse that says there is no continuity between Old Testament Israel and modern day Israel. But on this side of the argument, we actually have a verse that says, oh yeah, there's a relationship. God has not rejected his people. May it never be. He has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. So they don't have a verse that unwinds it. We actually have a verse that affirms it. Despite Israel's widespread rejection of Jesus, God's relationship with the nation has not been terminated. Now, between covenantalists and dispensationalists, we can talk about what that looks like, what the timeline is. But I think the agreement would be, yeah, there's still a plan. Even in their state of unbelief, it's his people. So Paul's point should just settle the issue about unbelief. And then he explains the present situation of Israel fitting in with God's larger plan. Romans 11, 1 through 10 talks about the existence of a believing remnant. That's evidence that God's relationship with the nation remains intact. Paul himself is a part of that remnant. Israel's current unbelief is neither total nor final. Israel's stumbling, because of it, salvation has come to the Gentiles, which then does what in Romans 11, 11? It provokes Israel to jealousy. They're finally going to get to the point where they're like, we want what you've got. We want to believe in that Messiah. Now, that development, in other words, God still, in his plan of redemption, has a role for the nation of Israel. How's about the image of the olive tree in Romans chapter 11, 17? Paul explains that we've been grafted into the faith of the patriarchs. But he warns Gentile believers, don't get arrogant toward Israel. Don't be arrogant. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Okay, that's ongoing. And I understand there can be some confusion about some of that. I get that. But I think this is plenty clear to indicate that the nation of Israel, wherever they're located, whatever they're believing, is still God's nation of Israel. And then Paul points to a coming day when all Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved. Okay, who is that? There must be an Israel. That day hasn't come. There must be an Israel. In Paul's mind, there clearly is. Who is it? And the answer is, it's Israel. Do they have to be living in that land? No, it's still God's people. which will bring riches for the world and even greater blessings to the Gentiles. And then Paul also, kind of important, that he identifies the Jews as having kind of a dual status. The nation is in unbelief toward the gospel, but it's connected to God's covenant purposes. So it's both things. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable toward Israel. There's another verse that settles it. Israel is still Israel. And those promises are not unwound. They're affirmed in the New Testament. So what was true in Paul's day remains true today. Israel's unbelief, it is real. Can't minimize it. But it doesn't mean that God has rejected the nation. It's beloved because of the patriarchal promises, and God's calling cannot be revoked. So here's the summary. I'm just going to read it for you. Is there a connection between the Israel of the Bible and the Jewish people today, including the modern state of Israel, according to Vlock? Yes. Scripture indicates Israel would continue as a direct people and nation within God's purposes. From the time of Israel's founding in Genesis, the biblical storyline never anticipates a period in which the nation permanently disappears or fades from God's plans. Even after dispersion, the Jewish people have continued to exist as an identifiable ethnic community with historical and cultural ties to the people of Israel described in Scripture. That's a pretty good summary of what we've heard. When large numbers of ethnic Israelites again live in the historic land of Israel, and consciously identify with that biblical heritage, it's difficult to deny that a meaningful connection exists between the Israel of the Bible and modern Israel. Something's going on. Now, we don't know what the deals are. We don't want to interpret eschatology through the modern state of Israel, but you can't deny this certainly is in alignment with God's redemptive arc, isn't it? Vlock writes, the fact that the modern state is largely secular, or at least at times, makes questionable political and military decisions, doesn't erase this historical and biblical continuity. That might be a helpful way to express it to somebody like Tucker. Oh, Tucker, there's biblical continuity for the nation of Israel, starting in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12, but it makes its way into the Mosaic Covenant, Deuteronomy 28 through 30. It's in Ezekiel. It is Jesus talks about the Jewish people and their future. Peter and Paul talk about the future of the Jewish people, Romans 9 through 11. There are we see the Jewish people getting saved in the book of Revelation. There's a continuity, Tucker. The nation of Israel, ever since God said, you're mine, have been his people and will be his people. And there's a plan for Israel. Vlock, throughout the Old Testament, Israel often existed as God's covenant people, while many within the nation lived in unbelief and disobedience. Those failures did not erase Israel's identity or cancel God's covenant purposes for the nation. So for this reason, Israel's present unbelief should not be seen as severing the historic and biblical connection between modern Israel and the Israel described in Scripture. The end. That's Vlock's treatment of the subject. Do we have complete clarity? I just think that all issues are too complex for complete clarity when it comes to global politics. But certainly, the Bible is not fuzzy about Israel and who they are. So do I believe that the promise given to Abraham, that the kindly treatment toward his descendants will bring blessing? I do. Does that mean we affirm everything they do? No. Does that mean that our government needs to get involved in every sort of military excursion that Israel invites us into? No, doesn't. There's decisions that need to be made around it. Is it a good war? Is it a bad war? Is it a just war? What are the American interests in this? What will happen to Israel if we don't? Those are all questions that need to be asked on a one-on-one, just as they happen in real time. So we can't just say that we will always do everything that Israel asks. But I believe that the promises given to Abraham, to those who bless Israel, they're still available to us today. Furthermore, this is to a degree speculation. I hope it's a sanctified speculation. could it be at least in part, that the American experiment has been so blessed because of our attitude toward the nation of Israel and the Jewish people? I can't definitively say yes, but you can't definitively say no either. So with that, we look at what's going on in the Middle East. We view it through a biblical understanding that this is a nation that still has a plan. Now, the interesting part of this that is like another chapter in the entire conversation is, well, what about the church? Aren't we God's people? Yes, we are. We are. And Peter makes that clear. He's constantly using terminology given to Jewish people in the Old Testament, kingdom of priests, God's chosen people, a people of God's own possession. Those were titles of Israel given to us, but that doesn't mean that we have swiped those titles forever. And there is a future plan for Israel. And in the meantime, no matter where they're located, no matter what they believe, I believe the Bible is crystal clear. That's Israel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.